Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and this is my co-host,
Graham K. What's up, everybody?
Yes, Graham K. calling in from beautiful New York City.
It's a beautiful day.
Is it? What is it out there?
A couple clouds in the skies, but mostly blue. And it's like 75 degrees, 72 degrees.
Oh, amazing.
It's nice.
Humidity's gone? Still humid? Like
no humidity. No nice. Humidity. Nice, gentle breeze, sunny day. I woke up this morning. I live in Brooklyn. I woke up this morning to about a 70-year-old man playing a giant musical box where you twist the thing. It's like from like pre-record players, like
wow.
It's like got a wine box.
Yeah.
You turn it, and it plays a song, and just the melody. And then he was singing in French.
What?
And he was right. Yeah, he was like just he had this bicycle, and he would just go on each block. I heard him down the block, and I woke up to that. Then he biked in front of my house. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I ran outside, gave him a couple dollars, and I filmed it. It's on my Instagram if you want to see it. He was singing.
Guys, check out Graham's Instagram. Follow him on Instagram.
I changed my Instagram and my Twitter, by the way. Very huge news for everybody.
We should we'll do the little music in the news for this too. In the news, Graham changes his Instagram. What is it now, Graham?
It's my name,
Graham K.
Okay.
Ooh.
So GRAHAMKAYOKAY.
No, that's great.
Graham K. Okay.
I like it. I like the new nomenclature. I think it's excellent.
Yeah.
This is what was this is what was holding you back, Graham. From now here to the stratosphere.
I know. Yeah, I know. I hated Graham K. comedy. I hated it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm in New York. I'm in Los Angeles. I don't know where I am. It's a beautiful day out here, actually. I think it's a little warmer.
You're back. You're back in Los Angeles.
I'm back in Los Angeles. I did.
You were gone for about 4 months. It felt like
4 weeks, but yeah, 4 months felt like. Stockholm was great. It's great to see my son. Actually, stopped in Dallas for a minute. Do a little corporate gig, did a little talk about autism, and that was fun. That was fun.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that. Yeah, I was just over for the day, to be honest. I've gotten to the point where I'm tired of traveling, so if I could just go for less than 24 hours, I'm going for less than 24 hours. Unless they say, you know, we'd like to hang out with you or do something else, sure. But if I'm just going to sit by myself in a hotel room or something, then I'm going home.
That's great.
So it's good to be back.
What'd you do? Like talk for an hour at some conference or business or something?
Yeah. It was 7 in the afternoon, clean for an hour. But actually they're running short, which is one of little inside tip, guys, for if you don't know this about comedians. But a lot of times people book you for an hour because it's a nice round number. And then when you get there, they're running late and they go, listen, I'm really sorry to do this, but you can only do 40 minutes. And then you say, is the money still the same? And then they say, yeah. And then you go, great.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always easier to cut it a little short and end on top. But it was great. It was fun. Plano. What was I? Flowermount, Texas. And then I'm back.
What was the organization?
It was a church, Rock Point Church in Flowermount, Texas. Yeah. So it was fun. Then I flew back in the first thing, and then I was at HA last night doing some jokes, a couple sets out there. This week
That's
I'm at the
comedy club.
At the comedy club, yeah. This week I'm at the comedy store, I think twice this week.
Ooh, world famous comedy store.
Yeah, so that's
on the Sunset Strip.
Should be fun. Should be a fun time. So my week in review, our longtime listeners know I set up JJ with a FaceTime on his iPad, and then I also downloaded Facebook for him. So
your son JJ,
my son JJ, yeah, Jacob JJ,
yeah.
And so we've set up a daily call, and we've done it now for about 2 weeks. And
every day you FaceTime your
every
son?
Day. We've had 2 days where I missed because I was in the bathroom or something. But we're trying to do a routine. So that what I want to have happen is when he's like, I want to talk to my dad. He goes to the machine and pushes the button with my giant face on it, and then he can talk to me or see me at least, you know, when he's sad or he's, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what So like the last 2 days, his aide, one of his aides, Maria was like, Teresa was like, I think he gets it. I think he's starting to get, cause like at first, I'm not sure if he was fit, you know, he knows it's me, but I don't know if he realized like that I'm live, you know, like maybe thought it was a movie like a recording or.
Sure. Yeah.
But these last few days we've had like a little interaction. Like he's looking at me like he looks at you when he's talking to you, and he says smiles.
Oh my God.
It's been
amazing.
Really cool. Really, really cool. And then yesterday we talked for about 2 minutes, and by we talked, I mean I talk. And then he goes, okay, bye bye, gets up and waves at the screen and walks away.
Man, you can only talk to your dad every day for so long.
Exactly. That's all I want. I just want a minute or two, just see him, he's healthy. And then if he needs me and wants to say something or, yeah, you just want him to know that somebody cares and is looking out for him. That's all.
That's great. And I'm sure he feels that. It sounds like he does.
I think he's starting to get it. I was really excited about it. I was really excited. And then, yeah, whenever he does that, you know, the lady's like, well, you know, he's 18. So it's like, yeah, fair enough. When I was 18, I didn't want to hang out with my dad all day. So,
yeah. He wants to hang out with those nurse babes.
Those nurses. I like my ladies in scrubs.
Yeah, he's got a pretty awesome situation.
He's got
an 18-year-old.
You know, this kind of leads us into our topic du jour a little bit. We could go out of order today. You want to go out of order?
We can go out of order. Sure. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Topic du jour is planning for the future. And I just realized we were talking about off the air a little bit how hard it is to plan for the future. You know, if you told me 5 years ago that, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's not so much planning for the future. It's just like expectations.
Yeah, the lack of predictability.
It's almost, it's like things are better than I thought for my brother, and they're turning out better than you thought for your son.
Yeah, there's been a few little hiccups, but overall, I would have liked him to be able to see his mom, obviously. So that, you know, there's, if you told me that she would pass away, and so my immediate thought would be, oh, then we're screwed. Like, and not that, like, you know, it is a very sad thing and it's difficult, but I'm really happy that he is in a good place and he is coping and he is living. And so, yeah, I couldn't.
I'm happy he's living too.
Yeah, I mean, living like not living versus dying, but living versus thriving is what I meant to say.
Right. But he is thriving. I mean, you told me the other day that you are surprised that he's able to FaceTime you.
Yeah.
He's able, and oh no, you're surprised that he's able to type in. What does he type in? Like Teletubbies or whatever.
VeggieTales. Yeah, he types in his own cartoons, whatever he wants to watch.
He goes on a keyboard, and even if it's memorization of the shapes of the V,
the orders of the letters. Yeah,
he's still doing it,
which is how dyslexic people learn to read anyway. So yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Is it? But he's still spelling something out.
I agree.
Looking up something on his own and. 2 years ago, even a year ago, you would have never thought that was possible.
Yeah, and it's been about 2 years, yeah. But now he types with his like fingers over the keyboard like you actually type. He's not looking for the keys. It's very unsettling in a good way.
Unsettling. Why is it unsettling?
It's unsettling because it makes you feel like there's so much untapped potential. And you could so easily associate the lack of progress we have had and draw a direct correlation between that and a direct line and be like, well, then he'll never be able to do anything, which isn't the case. You know, the fact that he wasn't able to do it doesn't mean he can't ever do it.
Yeah.
And
like if you're new to this podcast, Kirk's son is severely autistic.
Severely autistic. He's a potty trained at 10. Like at 10 years old when he's about, you know, 5 feet tall or whatever. I can't remember how old tall. But he's a big kid. He's not a little baby.
Yeah.
He would have an accident and he would try to get the poop out of his pants and it would end up everywhere. Well, and a couple times when he's a little older too. And that's like stuff like that is not cute, you know, anymore. Like, you know, when you're like 6 months old or you're a year, like, oh man, there's poop everywhere. But like as the child gets bigger, and so like the fact that he couldn't do the very basic things of going to the bathroom or, and I do a joke about me bragging about him stop peeing in the closet. That was true. He would pee in the closet till he was about, I don't remember, like five or six. Well, you can only pee in the closet a few times to where the smell is overwhelming, you know. So we replaced the carpets and then we replaced the wood floors. And then, but just the fact that the cognition wasn't there is super frustrating and depressing, and you can't really punish him. You know, it's not like he's not doing it on purpose. You know, you're trying to train him, but yeah. So, and then when he would want his videos, he would, we had VCR, so VHS tape. So he would point, and then, you know, he would rip the labels off. So they're all blank. So you stick new labels on, you're trying to figure out what he wants, but to have him go from pooping and rubbing it on the walls to pointing at videotapes that you have to guess and you're just going through them, to have him go to the bathroom on his own. He goes, sits at his computer, types in what he wants to watch. When it's time to eat, he'll sit at the table. He'll eat with a fork. I mean.
And then he FaceTimes you.
And then he FaceTimes me and, like, you know, makes faces. And we play this game where when he was little, we'd always tell him to not pick his nose. So now it's like, now he sticks his finger in his nose on purpose and says, don't pick your nose. Don't pick. You know, he does like these little things to tease me. And so it's like
That's a real funny game, though. That's a real interaction.
Right. That's an actual interaction. Right.
Yeah.
That he knows that he does with me.
Yeah, and you know, I love my dad and I want to mess with him.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing, like, that's great.
This winds up my dad, so let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So to have it go from where we were to where he is just, yeah, it's mind blowing. Well, you talked about this too, right? With Peter, like you were saying this too the other day.
Yeah. I. It's a little different with Peter because he's sort of like,
he was higher functioning to begin with.
Yeah, but he's still like low functioning. He's like, it's funny. People go, is your, like, people, laymen go, lay people go, is your brother like Rain Man? You know, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast has gotten that question before.
Yep.
About their loved ones. Is he like Rain Man? It's like, yeah, shut up. Yeah, he's a genius. He works for the CIA.
Right.
No. He's he's into Star Wars and he makes French fries for a living. But he it's still different because, like, I think what you mean when you say it's unsettling is you're like, there's all this untapped potential that maybe we haven't been getting through to, you know, and it's sort of scary. Like, is there like a guy in there?
Right. Exactly. You know? Is there a guy we're ignoring and he's desperate to get out and we just need the right combination of therapy and and time and effort Well, what I was thinking about when you were saying it was, I was thinking about the conversation you had with Pete where Pete was getting ready, wants to sell the lake house after your parents pass away. So that kind of forward thinking where he's making plans about the future, about death, which is a hard concept for anybody.
Know? Yeah. I think that's a good point. What I was getting at is, like, with Peter, he's high functioning enough where we're not worried about, is there somebody else in there? We know who's there.
Well, he talks.
He talks.
My son doesn't really talk. Yeah.
Exactly. And he talks a lot, my brother.
We need to have him on the, we need to have him back on the radio too.
We need to have him back.
On the radio, on the podcast.
Do we know how to do that? I guess you have to, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm in New York, you're there. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we could probably, yes, but the short answer is yes. We can.
It's a technical issue that we're dumb. So
we'll
guys,
send it to our PA / editor / everything.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, we don't.
We'll figure
that's
out.
That's you. but anyway, we'll have him back soon. We should have him back. My parents are on vacation.
Ooh.
And he's taking care of the house for 2 weeks. He's a good little worker.
Nice.
And he is he takes care of the dog and waters all the plants and lives at my parents' house and does all that stuff. But
that's great. Hey, should we do it in the news?
Just doing the news.
This was sent to me by, I've drawn a blank. I do not remember whoever sent it to me. Thank you so much for sending this. Sent to me by two people, but it was in the New York Times, and the title is "Looking into the Future for a Child with Autism." kind of ties into what we just talked about. And basically, this lady talks about her autistic son, who sounds like kind of a mix between mine and yours. My son and your brother, I mean.
Yeah.
I'll read a little bit. For 18 years, I've dreaded the ritual of writing a vision statement, quote unquote, for the IEP, or the individual education plan, for my son, Ethan. He has autism, and as any parent with a child with significant special needs knows, the yearly team meeting for developing an IEP can be emotional and fraught. For us, it's felt at times like an annual adjustment of expectations downward. In theory, the vision statement sounds like a lovely idea, an opportunity for parents to articulate the optimistic future they envision for their child 5 years down the road. In reality, as Ethan grew up and his limitations cognitively and behaviorally became clear, I found it harder every year to write a short paragraph. We came to see he couldn't live independently, get married, work in a job without support. But if those are the givens, what does the hopeful future look like? I'm not going to read this whole article because it is quite long. But basically, he turns 21, and in his final year of school, he shocks them by wanting to write his own goals. And in his goals, reading his words made me realize how wrong I've been for many years trying to articulate what my son's future would look
what
like.
What happens was is he goes – they get him a position at a farm
mm-hmm.
that – hires people with developmental disabilities, and he gets a whole new perspective, angle, like new people work with them. You know, I mean, like if you're with your parents your whole life, you tune them out, you know, whether you have a cognitive disability or not.
Yeah.
And I think that and the same thing's happening with your son.
And I think your parents, you know, remember him when he was not as advanced.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard. I mean, my parents still treat me like an
exactly.
idiot because they wipe my butt for so long.
Exactly.
I don't think you can treat anybody with respect if you had to clean up after their poo. You know? That's why every parent doesn't respect their kids. Like it's like so I think like, but I really like, I'm joking, but I think there's some truth to that. Like I think you need to switch it up. You know, and like he got this really, you know, position. Like good
he works
little,
as a
like,
landscaper, basically.
Yeah, but his parents in this article, and his parents are writing this article. It's excellent. Were like
made us cry.
They were like, yeah, made me cry. And he was like, they're like, okay, well, we'll try this. You know, he's gonna get fired or
right.
kicked out. They're gonna say again that he can't do it. You know, we've been through this a million times.
Right.
You know, and they're going to say, sorry, we tried. You take him back. And they're like, okay, well, whatever. We got to try. And lower there, it's just the whole article is about how he spent like 5 years just lowering his expectations on his son and just trying to come to grips with the reality that it's not going to be good and he's got to live with it. And then his son goes away to this farm and then.
The report
he gets,
is.
He gets a
he's
change
fun.
Of pace.
Yeah, he's fun. He's
yeah.
a good worker.
He's
like,
a good worker.
Wait, what do you
he's
mean?
Fun. He's like, what? What do you mean? No, he's fun. They're like, oh, he makes everybody laugh. Like,
yeah, what
oh,
did he do on the
okay.
crew? No stuff, you know. I don't know. It's just funny
then,
the way. Yeah, go ahead.
And then they have their year in review, and then they're like, okay. The guy's like, damn it, I got to come up with this fake goals for the year for my son.
I think
that,
it's a woman,
you know,
but yeah, yeah.
Or yeah, sorry. She's like, I got to come up with fake goals for my son, and you know, and it's heartbreaking almost to come up with these goals because you know they're not going to happen.
Right.
And then the son comes into the room and is like, the son's supervisor at the farm is like, yeah, actually, he wanted to make his own goals.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And his goals were like. Awesome and realistic.
Yeah, I want to work
here
like, till
I
retire.
They were like, I want to be a spaceman and live on Mars. They were
right.
like, I want to work at this till I retire. I want to laugh every day. I want to keep enjoying this. I like this. And maybe one day I'll have a girlfriend, but not now. Or like something like that. You know, it was like
yeah.
awesome. And everyone started crying, apparently, in the room.
You know what it reminds me of? Comedy. Because I feel like a prophet has no honor in his own home. You know, it's like wherever you started, whatever club you started at, they always think you suck because they remembered when you did suck. Like, I saw that guy do 10 minutes. He couldn't do it. But yeah. Like that was 10 years ago. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like that where you're remembering accurately somebody's skills at the time. And then they've continued to grow. And they're like, you know, if JJ could speak, you might say, yeah, you're right. 10 years, you know, when I was 10, I couldn't go to the bathroom, but I do now. That'd be the end of it. And I'm like, but you really couldn't. I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But it's funny. Like, I think this must have really hit home for you, this article, because the exact same thing's happening with you and your son.
Exactly.
On a slightly smaller scale, but they're different people.
And this kid's older. This kid's 21 and my son's 18.
Right. Exactly.
So exactly. I'd love it if he got a job doing landscaping.
Well, he's halfway there, dude.
Yeah, they're teaching him vacuuming and they're teaching him apartment cleaning right now. He really likes the vacuuming so far.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Vacuuming's fun.
But send us your letters. You know what I'd be interested in too? I don't always put out a special request, but if your kid is a little bit older and you know one of these success stories, I don't want to say success stories to imply that the other ones are not, but stories where there's been a lot of progress that
it's a success story.
You didn't foresee. Yeah, you're
because
right.
Because you don't have a success story doesn't mean your kid's not a success is a failure.
Yeah, I'd love to hear these. This really put a smile on my heart, face, mind.
Yeah. What's left of your heart?
Whatever was inside of there died a long time ago.
Yeah. What did you say when, like, we just sort of met? I had known you for a couple months, and you're helping me buy my first car. When you were staring out the window,
we went to go buy the first car that I told you not to buy. Me, and Eddie DeLaSepi, another little comedian, and we were having a conversation.
We're in traffic. You're driving. It's like a highway.
50 miles.
Traffic.
It was like an hour drive. It was a long drive. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever. You were like staring into the sun. What'd you say?
And the conversation was something about like joy or happiness or like, and I said, well, whatever was inside of me died a long time ago. And then I kind of was being funny, but I was kind of being serious. And then you guys made fun of me for an hour. It's pretty funny.
Well, you didn't. You weren't joking.
No, I wasn't joking at all.
We were talking about something else. And we're like, what about, you know?
It was one of those things where you say the truth. You're trying to get a laugh by saying the truth, but you're not joking.
But that's why we laughed, because we knew that joke was 100% truthful. Like the way you said it was like you were like, this, our middle aged friend has been through the ringer.
It was pretty funny though. We laughed pretty hard. I don't remember what the setup for that was, but we laughed.
You know what? Just the way. I mean, you meant it. You were just staring out the window, like we're like talking about hopes and dreams, and we're like, "And what about you, Kirk?" And
well, you guys like, are like, neither of you ever been married.
Been
neither of you
a
had
a long time ago. I'm like, oh dear God, I'm talking like a Vietnam vet or something.
No, it was like neither of you been married. You don't have any kids. You're just talking about like, oh, I'll buy this car. You have no real responsibilities. You're comedians. You're not like working terrible office jobs. So it's like, I had already done all that stuff.
Well, I made a choice not to because I didn't want to be staring out a window when I was 42. Go save my life. I'm dead inside.
I'm doing better, guys. Don't send me your letters. I'm doing better.
He's doing great. Yeah, well, doing I don't know if you're doing great, but you're
not
you're,
great.
You're
I'm,
back. You
I'm
sound
surviving.
Back. You're surviving. You've had a rough 6 months.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah,
I'm proud of how well you're doing.
I'm trying. I'm just taking a break, trying to focus on taking care of myself and
You're going to the gym?
I am. I've been here back 7 days. I've been 4 times. I'm gonna get in shape again, darn it. Yeah, I'm going to get back in shape.
Work off that comedy festival belly.
Oh, my goodness. That was a great festival, but that was a lot of fried food in Scotland.
Sure.
Hey, guys. Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I did a festival in Scotland, and it's like the average life expectancy for males in Scotland is like 58 years old, and I'm not joking. That's what it is. And they have billboards in Scotland like being like, please eat your vegetables. Please.
If the life expectancy is 58, that means for every guy who lives to be 70, somebody dies at, was that 48?
Yeah, well, alcoholism, and they don't, something happened in their diet in the 70s where, like, they don't eat, like, they used to eat better before the 70s. Like, they used to eat a lot of, like, you know, vegetables and what, like, you know, organic stuff. And then whatever happened post-war, blah, 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 it just became, like, fried Mars bars and fried blah, blah. Everything is fried there.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
They eat like trash.
I'm surprised how American they do eat. It's very, I was shocked. I thought we, you know, lead the world in that. But
their portions are smaller. Their portions, that's why no one's fat there.
Portions are smaller and they do walk more. But
they do walk more.
They drink hardcore.
But they drink and their arteries are very clogged with
grease.
They
like to hit it hard.
Yeah. But anyway,
it's good to be back in LA. I'm going to be here for a little while and try to put something together out here. And it's going to be good. Guys, if you have a second, like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Kirk Smith Comedy on all those. Graham K. OK.
That's me.
On Instagram and Patreon.com.
There, he did it.
/autastic. Go ahead. I feel like I'm talking too much, but then if I don't say this one.
P-A-T-R. I lost my thing.
EON?
Yeah. I don't know. My brain just stopped.
That's why there's two of us.
My brain was like, we don't get it.
Together, we're a complete man, ladies and gentlemen.
Go to Patreon. Give us money. We need it. Do it.
The money helps run this podcast. And
$1 a week. Come on.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Love you guys. You can do it.